We love to be with him, but we love to be together. It's fun to worship with other fiery worshipers, bold worshipers, on fire. You know that scripture in Luke 3 and 16? I'll read you the full verse. It says, John answered, saying to all, indeed, I baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He says, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He knew. He's like, I'm not worthy. He's saying, I'm not even worthy to loose his sandal strap. But he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And he said that, and he spoke that, and he understood that there was coming. This is not a one-time thing. That there was coming a time and a place where there would be a people that is hungry for the very same thing to take place in their lives. And then we know that God continued to do this in the baptism and the Holy Spirit pouring out. And in Acts 2, we know that he continued. We know that he continues now. And every time we gather, we know that he's pouring out his Holy Spirit. And he baptizes us, amen, with his fire, Holy Spirit and with fire. But I want you to jump over to Luke 24. Yeah. And in verse 32, I'm going to just jump right in the middle first. And they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us? There's a burning that takes place in the hearts of God's people. And it is not always an external burning. In other words, people don't always see it. There is a time and place where that burning is happening on the inside of you and no one else sees. Now, yes, there's also a time and place. You get to a place where your internal burning is very evident. It cannot be contained. But there are seasons of our lives, where sometimes there's such an internal burning and it is not evident externally. But he said, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road? They were on the road to Emmaus. He says, did not our hearts burn within us on the road while he talked with us and while he opened up the scriptures? Church is the scriptures. It's the word of God. It's going to cause your hearts to burn for him. It's as you open up the word of God, you will see your lives will start to burn more fervently. He tells us to have this fervent love for him, right? You know, we live in a day where we need to understand that burning, that passion, because the scriptures have been opened to us. Now, the scriptures are open. Like we can all approach a holy throne of God. We can all say, Lord, show me your word. We can all say, Lord, reveal to me, and we should. And God reveals. And we have Jesus, the one that has revealed all, right? The greatest revelator. He's come, and he reveals to us the heart of the Father, and he's written it all out for us. And we read the word, and that's the revelation of God, right? And as we read his word, we understand more and more and more, right? But we also know that when we come before him and we ask him for a greater understanding, when we read his word, what he does, and he sees a hungry heart, a sold out life. Not a life that's filled with compromise, but a life that's truly sold out. A life that says, I don't care if I don't look like, sound like, or act like the world. I want to act, look, and be like Jesus. And if I'm the only one standing, I'll still be standing. Right? And so he's looking for that type of a people, right? And so when we do this, we go before him, we say, Lord, show us, teach us your word. And we read it. We say, Lord, illuminate our understanding, God. I don't just want an understanding on one level, like a knowledge of God's word. I want the revelation. I want the fire that your word promises. I want the fire that your word promises. I want that fire ignited on the inside of me. And you know, this is not a one-time thing, because some of you guys might be saying, well, why are you preaching this message to us? Because that's how we are. It is how we are. But you know that there's room for more. There is always room for more. God says, I want you to keep that light burning. I want you to keep that light burning strong for me, says Jesus. Amen? Amen. You know why? Because we have what's called the accuser of the brethren. We have the one that's constantly trying to put your light out. I mean, it's not going to happen because we stay fervently in his presence. We stay in his word, and the scriptures are opened up to us. But we do live in a world where you have to constantly make sure that the adversary, the accuser of the brethren, is not allowed, not permitted to come, to come and to have any access in your life, right? Although he tries all the time. He's defeated, church. He's defeated. Okay, now let's go up to verse 30. It says, now it came to pass as he, thank you, Lord, as he sat at the table with them, glory to God, that he took bread and he blessed it and he broke it. He took bread, blessed, broke, and gave. He blessed it, broke it, he gave. Thank you, Father. And their eyes were opened when they knew him. Okay, stop right there. Their eyes were opened and they knew him. You got to remember, they had already walked with Jesus. Jesus taught them for all those 3 years. But their eyes were blinded at the moment. They didn't see because the last they heard, Jesus was, he died. Like, where did he go? What happened? What is this? What is this talk we're hearing of? They didn't understand who was even right there speaking. Lord, if there be any time where you're speaking to us, and I'm sure there are, and we don't understand it's you speaking to us, or we ignore it, or we have not allowed your spirit to be so fine-tuned in us that we miss it, forgive us, God. For those times that we miss it, forgive us, God. Right? Jesus took the bread as he sat at the table. He took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to them, and then their eyes were opened. And when their eyes were opened, they knew what they did not know before. They knew what they did not know before, right? And that right at that moment, he vanished from them. But they knew what they did not know before. We, as a church body, are about to go into a 5-day fast. And I hope that all of you guys are going to join us, but starting on Sunday throughout for the next 5 days, end of the month, we're going on a 5-day fast. We, as a church body, have been mandated by God to make sure that this year is a year of intense fasting. That's what the Lord told me. To make sure that you set apart time, lots of it, and that every month, as we hear from God's Spirit, we follow suit and we fast. When you fast, take communion. When you fast, take communion. Take the bread, take the cup, bless it, break the cup or the bread. Thank God for it. There is a spiritual element that takes place as we pray, as we fast, and as we take personal communion. Just you and Jesus. Personal communion. Just you and the Lord. There is like it says here, their eyes were opened. Your eyes will be open. There are answers to prayers that have been prayed that are coming about as you pray, fast, and take communion. But I want you to have an expectancy. In expectancy, that as you do this, God will show unto you the things that you have not known, things you've been praying for and believing God for. Do you believe this? We believe that the word is true. We believe that this, when we read here in Luke in chapter 24, the road to Emmaus, that there are applications for our lives that we can take and glean from. Amen? So he broke, he took the bread, he blessed it, broke it, gave it to them, and their eyes were open, and they knew him. And they knew him. Though they knew him before, there was another level, a level of revelation they did not understand before. Are you following? This is important. This is important because verse 32, which is what I read to you as we began, It says, and they said. And I love this. I love this part of scripture right here, because they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us? They didn't say that before. They didn't talk about burning before. They had no awareness that they were, at least they didn't mention it. But all of a sudden, when the bread was broken and they took communion and their eyes were opened, they recognized something was happening on the inside of them that they cannot deny. And they recognized that, oh my goodness, was not our hearts burning within us? As he walked with us, as he talked with us on the road, wasn't our hearts just burning aglow on fire for him? And the answer is yes. When you know that you're burning for Jesus, when you know that your heart is on fire for Jesus, it changes the way you walk. It changes your life. It changes your Christian walk. It changes your confidence. Amen. You know that you have an internal fire that cannot be shut down. It cannot be quenched. Because it's not a natural fire. It's not a natural thing. It's supernatural. And you know how powerful this is? It's a weapon for you to understand that what was, and I believe this was already taking place within their hearts, but they were not aware of it. At least they did, not to the point to where they were going to speak it out. Not to the point to where they were going to admit it to somebody else. There are levels of understanding, levels of what we admit to, but they got to a point to where they were like, and it was after the communion, where they were like, oh my goodness, my eyes are open. And weren't our hearts burning? Yes, they were burning. Well, you didn't tell me before. Well, you didn't tell me before, but my heart was burning. So was mine. And they recognized something. Man, we got the fire. We got the power of God, which always was and is and always will be, but we have the power, the fire of God on the inside of us. That's a flame that will never be quenched as long as we continue to keep the word of God alive, burning on the inside of us.
Amen. Amen.
I think it's super important here. So they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while we talked on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? So important. My prayer for us as a body of Christ, as we enter into this next season, the next 5 days of fasting, is that you really, if you haven't already, you really take this to heart and you really press in, and that it becomes holy. I mean, it is holy, but I'm saying in your mind, sacred, that you set this time apart in such a way that when you open up the scriptures and you take your communion, there is a divine outpouring each and every time. I mean, I feel this really strongly for us as a body of Christ. We were in intense worship here today. Glorious, just singing his word. I honestly believe there's nothing better than singing the word of God, as directed by the Holy Ghost, of course, as he directs. Because it's his eternal word when we sing it, when we speak it, we proclaim it in any way. We read it, we write it. There's something happening on the inside of us, church. Never deny that. There's something happening. Verse 33 says, so they rose up at that very hour, and they returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road. Let the encouragement and the boldness of Christ come upon you now, that you will tell of the things that God has shown you. We live in a world where people are kind of quiet about their faith, but God wants you to be bold about your faith, not in a reckless way, but in a way that says, man, they got the joy of the Lord, and they're unashamed. They are unashamed of the gospel. They told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them by the breaking of bread. When they broke the bread, there was a knowing that took place. Father, I'm asking that as we, as a body, do this, we pray, we fast, we take communion, in the breaking of the bread, that there is a knowing that we did not know before. There is an understanding that we did not have before. There is a deeper, deeper revelation that we did not have before. I pray this over the body of Christ.
The Lord loves a hilarious giver.
In his word, he talks about hilariously giving. And I've got to say, because of people like you, God has expanded the ministry's reach to where we are now in 236 million homes preaching the gospel for Jesus Christ. This is incredible. And I wanted to take a moment right now and encourage some of you that have not yet decided to become a partner, a monthly partner, that this would be an incredible time for you to jump in and become a monthly partner with us here at this ministry. The gospel is being preached and people's lives are being changed. And I am excited to where the Lord is taking this ministry. Is it because of us? No, it's all because of Jesus Christ and faithful partners like you. God bless you as you pray and become a monthly partner.
I pray this over you all. Because it's in the breaking that we see the light of Christ. Now that is true for our lives as well, right? When you want to walk as someone that is on fire, there's going to be a breaking, and it's not just the bread. Our lives, the very thing that's the most important to us, there's a breaking, there's a pain. When you want to walk as a fiery one for Jesus, sold out, completely sold out, it requires more than just your yes. There is a breaking. It wasn't just the bread that broke. It wasn't just his body that broke. There's a breaking in our lives. That breaking, that pain, that heartache, that thing, that those things that take place, they take place for all of us. It's like the godly will see. There is going to be affliction, but yet we rejoice because the Lord our God is faithful still. He's there for you. It doesn't move, it doesn't shift. But it's in the breaking that you see the light of Christ. It's in the breaking that you see the scriptures come alive. It's in the breaking that you see heaven open. It's in the breaking. You know why? Because earthly things, material things have lost hold, their hold on you. There is no, literally nothing that can have that place that is the Lord's. Nothing. So it's in the breaking that we see the light of Christ. So even when things are difficult and hard, we started the service by praying for the persecuted church. And yet the persecuted church are some of the most happiest Christians and believers on fire. There are some people that are, you know, they're Christians. They believe in, they profess to be Christian. But the very first thing something happens and goes wrong, they're like wondering what happened. And there are some of the most miserable people and some of the most shallow people. But we understand and believe that God, who was and is and is to come, who is faithful to us, the light of Christ who shines on the inside of us, who's called us to be the light and the salt, and given us his light, his salt. We will not let our light go out. We will not let our salt lose its flavor, lose its saltiness, because it would be useless then. It would be good for nothing then. And that's not our lives. It's not our walk. So persecution comes. It comes to the godly. But Christ rises victoriously, and so do we. Christ rises victoriously, and so do we. So in the breaking, whether you're taking communion and there's a symbolic breaking, or whether you're going through something and it's hurting, it's breaking you, it feels like it's hurting, it's pain, it's heartache. You know that you know that you know. We don't experience anything that Christ didn't already experience, but we know that it is in the breaking that the light of Christ will shine brightly in and through us. Amen. Why is that so important? Because he's revealed what's the most treasured possession, which is Christ, his son. God has revealed. He revealed it through his word. We carry that. But we also need to give it out. We carry it and we give it out. And so he said, and they told about the things that had happened. Verse 35. They told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Thank you, Father. Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you." Speak peace over your circumstances. You have the Prince of Peace living on the inside of you. Speak peace in the midst of the storm. Just because there's a storm doesn't mean that you don't speak peace to your circumstances. Because you will be equipped in the storm through it all. You will be equipped with the power and the presence of God. You're not going to wonder why is this taking place. If you're wondering why is this difficulty taking place, then you need to understand what a true Christian goes through. So we don't wonder when persecution hits. We understand, but we count it all joy. We rejoice. When you're living right for God, you get to rejoice and know God is with you. God is with me. God will not let me fall. So he says, my peace, peace. He says, peace to you. I speak peace over each one of you right now. I speak the peace of God over your circumstances, over your heart, over your lives, over your families. I speak the peace of God right now. Because the reality is that there is truly no weapon formed against you that's going to prosper. I don't care how bad it looks. I don't care how long it takes, how deep it seems to go, what circumstances dictate. There's no weapon formed against you that's going to prosper. It just won't prosper. It may be formed, but it won't prosper. I want you to say that over to your neighbor. Turn to your neighbor and tell them that. It may be formed, but it's not going to prosper. There may be a weapon formed right now, but it's not going to prosper. The weapons that have been formed are not going to prosper. Why? Because it's the word of the Lord. So he says, peace to you. In verse 37, first he says, peace to you. Then verse 37, but they were terrified. They were frightened. They supposed they had seen a spirit. They thought they saw a ghost. They're like, what is this? How could this be happening? You were dead and you're alive? What happened? And he said to them, why are you troubled? We could take that scripture right there. Why are you troubled? We could close our Bibles. We could pick up our belongings. We could go home. Why are you troubled? Because we know that's not a real question. We know he's not actually asking, like, hey, now just tell me your whole life story. Like, did something happen? Or like, it's not a real question. Right? It's like circular. It's like, what's what they call a rhetorical question. It's like, he's not asking you for an answer. Right? He's actually not asking you. For an answer. He already knows the answer. Why are you troubled? Why are you troubled? Why? I'm making a point. I'm making a big deal of the scripture on purpose. Because I believe that if we were to just let that scripture be so buried in our spirit, man, why are you troubled? That the next time that real things come about, I'm not saying they don't. Real fear tries to grip your heart. I'm not saying that it doesn't. But that this scripture would rise up. Why are you troubled? Why are you troubled? God wants us to walk in such peace, knowing that when we fellowship with him in this way, he is the light in the storm. He is the peace that fills our hearts. He is the revelation that keeps us strong, amen. Keeps us going. He's the fire burning on the inside of us. He's the one that says, let your spirit be aglow in me. Fervently aglow in him. This is why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Well, God, I thank you that from this day forward, Lord God, you're going to quicken in our spirits your very word. Why are you troubled? Why is doubt rising in your heart? Don't let it. Don't let it. We're going to say, yeah, you're right. Why? There's no need. Because I got the King of Kings. I got the Lord of Lords. I have the Savior of the world. I have the one that has already come and that says, I'm coming again for a spotless bride. He's on the inside of us. He's inside of us. He's within us. Perfect. And why do doubts rise in your hearts? Thank you, Father. Behold, he says, verse 39, my hands and my feet, hallelujah, that it is I. He's saying it's me. It is I. It's myself. Handle me and see. Oh, thank you, Father. Yeah. A spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. He was right there in the flesh. Bones and flesh. He says, when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe, for joy, it says marveled. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled. What? And he said, have you any food here? He's like, okay, I know some of you are following along, but I know not all of you are following along. Do you have any food? Because I'm going to prove it to everybody. I'm going to make sure that you all understand because I love you that much. Right? So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb. And he took it and he ate it in their presence. Can you imagine their faces at that moment in time? You know, can you imagine their faces? But we're going to get to verse 45. Let's finish 44 though. And then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you. All the things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that it might, that they might comprehend the scriptures. Amen. He opened up the understanding of the very ones that walked with him for 3 years, his very disciples, that saw him do all kinds of miracles. But there was a whole other level of revelation that they were going to now walk in, wasn't it? A whole new level of revelation. And I believe that that's where God is taking us. A whole nother level of revelation. But it's going to come to those that take seriously the understanding that we are to fast and pray. And taking that communion while we fast and pray is going to be very critical. So, you know, put that in your spirit. Let that sink in deep. Understand the importance of this. And then set aside that time. It's holy. That time of prayer, fasting, and communion is holy. Amen. Come with an expectation that God is going to open up his word, reveal it to us such a greater level, but also give you that fire, that burning passion in an increasing measure more than you had before. Amen. They had an understanding. I mean, they left everything to follow Jesus. They had a level of discernment, of understanding. But boy, where the Lord took them was much, much higher than anything they had before. How many of you want that? Yeah. I think we all want that. And I believe that's what God is saying to us as a body, as a church. And it's going to be glorious. I'm very excited. I'm very, very thankful.